Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
We hear stories of, in Texas or Florida, what's happening in public schools, and all that's at risk is our children.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and today's episode is different than what I would usually talk about. I have the honor of chatting with JP Sears today, and we are diving into topics that are undoubtedly necessary, especially someone who wants to be a mom one day and is going to be a mom one day. One conversation that Jordan and I have more often than people would probably think is just how much the school systems have changed. We talk all the time about whether we want to homeschool, whether we want to send our kids to public school, whether we want to send them to a private school. There's just so much transpiring on a day-to-day basis in the school system. And it's sad that this is even a conversation that needs to be had, but those are the times that we're living in. And JP Sears brings so much truth in this episode and exposes darkness with light. I can't wait for you guys to listen in. So without further ado, let's hop in. Okay, welcome to the podcast, JP. How are you doing?
I think I'm doing pretty good today, Brittany, and appreciate you having me on.
Oh my gosh, of course. Like I told you before this, I didn't know who you were, but now I'm obviously a fan of what you stand for and what you speak on. But my husband is a huge fan, so he is just like fangirling in the other room while I do this podcast. And I'm just so excited to hear just your convictions on everything that we're going to be talking about with it, the school system and just all these peer pressures that they're placing on kids these days. But before we jump in, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Well, my delusional perspective of who and what I am, I'm a comedian by trade, yet comedy isn't really the end goal. The mission is to help awaken people to protect, preserve, and celebrate freedom, and help awaken people to the beauty of doing their own thinking and following their hearts. So that's what I use the language of comedy to attempt to accomplish. So I've been doing comedy for about 9 years, I guess. And about 3 years ago is that was my entry into kind of waking up and realizing like, hey, freedom isn't something we can take for granted anymore. Yeah. Seeing it get eroded away. And that helped me realize, I've been taking freedom for granted. I've felt entitled to it and just oblivious. So that really woke me up to realize freedom's my number one value. So, you know, just following my heart, I was just naturally using my platforms and my content as a way of standing for freedom, inviting people to do the same while also calling out what I deem to be lies, hypocrisy, and corruptions that seem to have an agenda of eroding freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's tough standing for those things in today's cancel culture era, especially when people are getting deplatformed. And I actually listened to one of your podcasts about, you know, the political election in 2020. It's just you get censored for speaking the truth. And that's really hard because as someone that also has a platform, it's like, man, okay, are we going to yield to our convictions and just speak no matter what? Or are we going to bow to culture? And as Christians, we know the answer to that. So, yeah.
And you know, what you said, it's certainly true. It can be tough to speak your convictions when they go against the narrative. But really the tough part is like, hey, there, you could be deplatformed. You could all these cancel culture So I hear some people say, wow, you know, speaking your mind in today's world, that's kind of dangerous. Kind of, but I also disagree. I think it's more dangerous not to.
Amen.
Because we just look at where things can go if we allow it, like we the people, we do have the power, whether we realize it or not. And I think let's realize it and realize, it can be tough at times. It can be scary. Like each upload, we might get deplatformed. And we can also be intelligent, realize, play the game of censorship. What are they censoring? How can we say what we need to say without being flagged by the censor? So we can apply our intelligence along with our courage to, it can be tough, but I think it's the less dangerous route to speak our minds. I think it's far more dangerous not to.
Yeah. Oh no, I totally agree with everything you just said. And you're bold and we love that. And it's just, like I said, it's really hard to find people that are speaking that truth and doing it unapologetically and unwaveringly, no matter what, you know, the media is trying to tell us or social media is trying to pressure us into saying and speaking for, or speaking on. But you speak a lot about what people are afraid to say. And one of those topics is the school system and just all the peer pressure that's come with that. My husband and I talk about this all the time about how it's just vastly different from when we were kids. And could you talk about just the dangers of where the school system is going and how that's going to impact children if we don't stand up and make a change?
In my opinion, there's no higher priority than children. We as adults and parents, we are tasked with stewarding and protecting these precious, innocent souls until they're well-developed enough. They become adults to carry the torch of their own lives. So we have the most important responsibility on the planet as parents, and we see what's going on in the school systems and realize it's a threat. It is a real danger. And, you know, for starters, there's the I would call them degenerate ideologies that are finding their way into the school systems, gender ideologies, critical race theory. And it's in sort of like teaching people to be disconnected from their own thinking. Here's what you need to think. And you better think that way because look how you're going to be intimidated and coerced, if nothing else, through peer pressure or a little bit of a radicalized teacher.
Yeah.
So it's very tough for kids now. And it's pervasive in public schools. They're infected with dangerous ideologies, even in Texas, where I think, well, nothing's happening in Texas, but we hear stories of in Texas or Florida, what's happening in public schools. And all that's at risk is our children.
Yeah.
And we know children are impressionable. What is impressed upon them now, if we allow it, it's not just they're in danger for the day, having some kind of radicalized ideology in their lives. But because they're impressionable, that shapes how it can shape how they'll be for the rest of their lives. So the public schools, what's going on in them, it's a major, major concern of mine.
Yeah. And you have a son, correct?
I do. He'll be turning 3 in December.
Oh my gosh. So I'm sure that's completely changed your perspective of all of this because my husband and I don't have kids yet. And we still have these conversations about when we do have kids, what does that look like? Because I remember when I was younger, it was almost foreign to homeschool. Like no one was doing it. Everyone wanted to go to the public school system to get the best education. And now it's like flip-flopped almost. Like people are scared to send their kids to the public school system for, you know, the sake of what they're now pushing, the agendas that they're teaching and the books that are in their libraries, which we'll get into that here in a second. But has that completely changed like your perspective now being a parent? And maybe even what would you say to encourage someone that is in that situation where they're fearful of everything that's being pushed in school systems? And how would you encourage them to either just stand their ground or even speak out against it?
Yeah, the first question, having a child, it has completely changed how I view schools, the importance of it. You know, before I had my son. I'm like, education, what's going on in schools? Yeah, but, you know, there's other things to worry about. By having my son and like feeling the responsibility from God to protect and nurture him, and also witnessing the innocence and impressionability, they're sponges. They soak everything up from their environment. I couldn't comprehend that before I had a son. I probably theoretically knew it, but I didn't comprehend it. So that's completely changed me. Now I'm just more in touch with reality about how precious and impressionable these beautiful little souls are. And yeah, for parents who feel scared about what's going on in public schools, good. It is so appropriate to feel the emotion of fear when you're looking at something dangerous. Yeah. And what's going on in public schools is dangerous. So you feeling scared, that's ideal. That should happen. And that fear hopefully can be a motivating energy. And, you know, there's a couple routes as far as if I were giving advice. I would say priority number one is don't put your kids in public schools. You know, instead of teaching your child, here's the best way to avoid being attacked by a lion. Yeah, what's better than that is don't put them in a cage with a lion.
Yeah.
And there's also a reality. Some people, some families are in the position to do some level of private schooling, alternative schools, homeschools. And there's also a reality that some families certainly aren't in the financial position to do that. So it's public schools is the only option. And I wish that wasn't the case, but that's the reality for some people. So for those parents, I would say two things. One, you have to have a voice. You have to go to the school board meetings. They need to hear your feedback and they need to feel the pressure from loving parents. And the other thing I would say that's probably even more important is you got to step your game up as a parent. You have to be a very present parent. You have to look at parenting. I mean, one, it's fun. There's no bigger source of joy in the world. And yeah, there's challenges, but you have to realize your child needs your time. You know, if they're with you for 3 hours a day, but with another influence for 8 hours a day, we know what's going to win. And not just being with our children for durations of time, but having that be quality of time, having that be where we're fully present, because you can be with your child for 8 hours, but there's like 15 minutes of actual presence and connection. But for the times we're with our children, we need to be engaged and we need to be purposefully instilling good, positive morals and values with our children, both teaching them lessons, but more importantly, calling you out, parents, including me, how we live our lives, how we are as people, what our character is by far the biggest influence we have over our children. So whatever it is you want to teach your children, you 100% have to be the living embodied example of that, which a good positive side effect of that is if you're wanting to be the best parent you possibly can be for your child, that means you're going to grow. Because you kind of like have to grow and become a more whole person if you want to really positively impact your children. So I think children can be a good motivator for us to just grow ourselves. And worst thing that can happen is we're happier, more fulfilled people as a result.
Yeah. Well, I've heard so many parents say that your kids become your mirrors almost. Like they start picking up on everything you're doing and saying. And I remember I have a five, almost 6 year old nephew, and watching him when he was 2, 3, then moving into like 4 years old, he would just repeat things we said. We had to be careful. Not that like, you know, we all have like relatively clean language like I do, and so does my family, but we all had to just be careful about what we even talked about. Like even conversations about what we're discussing now, we couldn't say those things around him because he would start saying those and we're like, oh, whoa. Like, so they are, their brains are such sponges. And I love that you almost have like a call to action to call parents higher because as Christians, we're called to show the fruit of the Spirit and carry that. So you wrote a children's book called Chomp Chomp Chomp, which I love the name of it. But I remember hearing last year on the news, I try not to watch the news much, but my husband does. And they talked about some of the books that people were finding, specifically parents, in the libraries at these schools. And they were just audacious. Like, absolutely make me sick to my stomach that kids are reading books like this, much less learning about these things that really are meant for adulthood. They are. There's no argument against that. It's, kids should not be learning about this stuff as children. And so obviously I know that we know why they're pushing these agendas. It's a very demonic agenda. But why do you think schools are bringing sexuality so strongly into the classroom at such a young age? And what can we do about it besides just using our voice?
Yeah. So why schools are bringing sexuality into the schools? Like, first off, let's acknowledge that's 100% happening. It yeah. sounds so insane that it sounds like we're just making things up. And it is insane. And you said it's actually demonic. It's worse mm-hmm. than insane. So it's happening. And why I think that is, I think there's two levels. I think, and I'm kind of like broad strokes here. I think individual school board members, teachers, a lot of them have good intentions. If you kind of did a sanity check on most of them, I'm guessing you're going to find 99% of them are good people who mean well, rather than having some kind of satanic agenda that they're conscious of anyway. And I think they become like a weak membrane that lets things through because they can become spineless. They're afraid of backlash. They're afraid of, you know, cancel culture mobs. I mean, they coerce people. They've become something in society that we're aware of. So I think there's a level of spinelessness where school board members are trying to avoid conflict rather than standing for what they know is right. Mm-hmm. At a level above that, I believe there's a very deliberate attempt to demoralize America. And part of how you demoralize people is you start sexualizing children, and you get children thinking sexual things, let alone sexually perverted things. And like, let's question your gender. What's your gender going to be today? Because like, yeah. you can just choose, and like, whoa, here's, you know, take these hormones. So that is incredibly demoralizing. It weakens someone's connection to their own soul. And ultimately, it makes a weak population of people, and a weak population of people is very controllable. So and there's so many ways that there's forces trying to demoralize America. And why I believe that's happening is ultimately for the purposes of control. You look at totalitarian regimes, they want to control. And you'd say, well, that sounds evil. That's because it is. My working definition of evil is trying to control another person in a way that's not in their best interest. And why do they want to do that? I think because they're serving an agenda of that's satanic. And mm-hmm. most of these people pushing these dangerous ideologies into the school systems, getting them in there on purpose and having these intimidating tactics that make school board members like just weak and spineless because they don't have the courage to stand up for what's right. You know, I believe that is satanic. And I believe a lot of people trying to usher in this satanic agenda of evil through the form of control, I doubt they know they're serving Satan. Like, you know, the best way to control someone is to make sure they don't know you are controlling them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people under Satan's control fall into that category where they don't know they're being controlled. Because if you know you're being controlled, the old saying, you can't get out of a jail you don't know you're in. But once you realize you're being controlled, you can say, like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to keep consenting to this. So I wish this wasn't the case, but I unfortunately do see and believe there is very deliberate evil infiltrating our society and also really specifically schools. Ultimately, So people are disconnected from their souls, so they're more controllable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And being deceived, right? Like you just said, 99% of the school system, they're amazing. I mean, teachers are so selfless in what they do and they pour their hearts and souls into this, but it's the people on top that are calling all the shots that do have that agenda behind them, whether they realize they're operating in that or not. It's deception and it's so dark and so just twisted. I mean, I've seen videos of kids, and I don't know if it's still a thing, but I remember seeing these like last year, kids running around identifying as cats. Did you see that? And like using litter boxes in schools. And I'm like, what is wrong with their world? Like that is the direction that things are going. And it's a clear target on the younger generation, because that's who's going to run our country one day, which is terrifying to think about. It breaks my heart. And so you've encouraged parents of, you know, if they've got kids in the school system, how to be a voice, how to stand up and have a backbone and not be spineless like, you know, some of these people that are running the show. But what do you think, where do you think the actual root lies of the problem? Like, is it universities? Is it smaller education systems? Is it woke teachers? Is it teacher unions? Because obviously, like, we as parents, and I'm going to include myself in that because one day that will be us. We are speaking out. We are pushing back, but things don't seem to be changing much. So why?
Well, I think the ultimate root of the problem, I mean, outside of like, hey, demonic, satanic agenda, like, you know, Satan's going to do what Satan does. But the ultimate root of why it's a problem is the parents. And I wish I could just pin it on the bad guy. Like that'd be more convenient. We'd get to be in the position of the victim. Poor us, they're the bad guy. But I think self-responsibility is a superpower of our time. It is the parents' fault. I think the families staying intact whenever possible, and parents really actually parenting their children, being the most profound influence on their children, because they deserve to be, because they are letting themselves up level, because they realize I have to be a good person. I have to have a strong, good moral character, if nothing else, for my child. So, and parents keep sending their kids to public schools. That would actually crumble if enough parents stopped doing it. Yeah. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I know some families, like, they're in a position where that's really the only option. And there's other families, like there's a number of families around where I live where they already had their kids actually in private alternative schools, but those schools said, well, your kid's got to wear a mask. And these families said, no. So they started their own schools. Wow. And that is ultra self-responsibility in those parents, and such a huge task, yet they've taken it on and done it really well, because those parents realize, if I keep subjecting my kid to what I know is dangerous, it is literally no one's fault but my own. It's just kind of like if we had, you know, a little epidemic of kids getting eaten by alligators, we could say, well, the problem is the alligators. But then we look back and say, like, oh, why do parents keep putting their kids in the alligator pit? The problem is actually the parents. So that can be hard to actually accept. And initially our minds want to reject that and play the victim. No, it's not our fault. Look at all this evil. But ultimately, we have the power. And I think evil forces try to trick us out of our own power. So nonetheless, I think parenting, parental choices, that really is the problem. That sounds like the bad news, but it's actually the good news. Because if we are the problem, if we've created the problem, that means once we realize that and start making more conscious choices, we have the power to make the change that we want for our children.
That's so good. It reminds me of that scripture, and I couldn't tell you which one it is, but it's the one about where a dog returns to its own vomit. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's what I mean, even as someone that's not a parent yet, I've seen that. Like, we've already agreed, my husband and I, that we are hands down going to homeschool. And it's terrifying because you're like, am I going to have the capacity? Are we going to be able to do this? Like, that seems like a huge, you know, undertaking and responsibility, but like, it's at the sake of your children's future, and it's so worth it. Absolutely. So you wrote this book. What inspired you, and where can everyone find it before we wrap this up?
Yes. Well, thank you, Brittany. The book is called Chomp, Chomp, Chomp. I released it with Brave Books, and man, they are change makers. They're really doing an amazing job of bringing good, positive messaging, pro-God, pro-America, pro-good morals to children through entertaining, engaging, well-illustrated stories so they can connect with children. So it's been just an absolute joy to partner with Brave Books, available at bravebooks.com. What inspired it? It's really what we've been talking about, seeing this massive problem that is putting our children in jeopardy, and therefore putting everything else in jeopardy, the future of our country. So I'm aware with that problem, we need to protect our children from it, but also aware we need positive alternatives to the problem, because if the alligator pit is the only place to live, that's where you're going to live. But if you make some dwellings on higher ground, fence off the alligator pit, that's a little bit of a better solution. And then specifically with this book, why I wrote this one, if there was only one message that I could teach my son and instill in him so he could be set up well for life, just one message, it would be this: dear son, always do your own thinking, be in touch with your heart, and have the courage to let your actions be in alignment with your thinking and your heart. That's the one message. If he gets that, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to tell him how to live, because he gets to figure it out on his own, guided by God, because I think God speaks to us through our heart. So that being the most important message, I believe as a father, I can gift my son. I wanted to make that available to families all around the world, because a lot of people want that message too for their children. So that's what you get out of the book, along with an entertaining story.
Yes, that's profound. I will leave all the links for this down in the show notes below, as well as on YouTube, because I know there's going to be so many moms that follow me and follow this podcast that will want to buy this. And honestly, we will too. We will prophetically buy it, that we're going to one day be parents and we'll get to read that to our own children. Well, thank you so much, JP, for taking your time to explain just your passion on this entire subject today. And I cannot wait to see what you do with all of this.
Well, thank you for that, Brittany. And I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you using your platform the way that you do, and also to help express this message, if nothing else, for parents to hear and consider. And, you know, as parents, and I'm going to call myself out here, as parents, we can maybe end by asking ourselves, okay, where can I take a little bit more self-responsibility? Where can I up-level myself so I can be a better living example for my child? And also get clear, what are the most important things that I want to instill in my child's mind and heart for them to live the best life possible, happiest, most connected to God, with meaning, fulfillment. Doesn't mean they don't have challenges, but set up well to overcome challenges and ultimately feel that they're living a great, meaningful, purposeful life. So what are those messages? I think as parents, if we get clear on them, then we're going to have a much clearer pathway to sharing those with our children on a regular basis.
Yes. Wow. So good. Thank you so much, JP. Regardless of whether you choose to homeschool or send your kids to public school, we can all agree that things have changed since we were kids too. And they've changed dramatically. More important than anything else is raising your kids to know the Lord, to fear the Lord, to, above all else, listen only to the Lord. With pressures surrounding us at every angle on a daily basis too, about a culture, it's a beautiful thing to raise your children to know the love of God. I hope this episode encourages you to take a stand for what's right and yield to your convictions as a Christian. No matter where your kids go to school, they carry the light of Christ inside of them, and that is a beautiful thing. As always, thank you guys so much for stopping in on today's episode, and I will see you guys in the next one.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today, and remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.